You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We are on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube. I just want to keep naming spots, but those are the main places you can find us. I'm, of course, Craig Hoffman, the host of the show. Anthony Haney is here as well, although yet again, as far as I know, they haven't fixed the air conditioning. I didn't even bother asking today. I assume at this point they're just going to tell me when it's fixed, Anthony, and I will, at that point, return to the office and see you in person for the first time in weeks. But I, again, here is here for me at my house in my home studio, which is temperature and climate controlled, and you're thugging it in the 980 studios, which do not have working air conditioning.
Yeah, I am thugging it, and I'm surprised you haven't heard this fan that is literally directly to the left of me.
Yeah, I am surprised.
I guess because of the direction of the mic, though.
Yeah, I will say professional radio microphones are very good. They are unidirectional microphones. They are designed to pick up what's right here. And not necessarily if I talk over here. See, that was a fun trick for the people that could see me. Although I think the people just listening, they got it too because they couldn't hear me very clearly. Anyway, the point is the Commanders had a joint practice today with the New England Patriots, and that is where our attention will be for most of the show. I will tell you, however, we will talk Terry McLaurin with the person that I have wanted to most talk about Terry McLaurin's contract negotiations with over the last month, 2 months, 3 months, and that is Joel Corey, the CBS Sports analyst, former NFL agent, who is as good at talking about the contract stuff as anybody in the media world. He's just excellent, and I got like some pretty detailed stuff I want to talk to him about, and so I think it's important because the details matter here. Like, we all kind of agree the general framework of how this is going to go. It's the devil and the details that is going to be interesting, and Joel is a details guy when it comes to the contracts in the NFL. So we start, though, with the joint practices, Anthony, and obviously I am here, you are there. Neither of us is in New England where this joint practice ultimately goes down today, but thanks to plenty of Patriots reporters and Commanders reporters, we have somewhat of an idea of how things went. One of those Commanders reporters, Mitch Tischler of Beltway Football, Monumental Sports Podcast, he will join us coming up at 5 o'clock. It's not a Tuesday, but we're going to have Tischler anyway, a Tischler Wednesday. I feel like I have to start here, Anthony. I got actual flack in the YouTube comments about us joking about Marshawn Lattimore getting into fights. Like, I literally had people being like, how could you possibly, one commenter goes, you're profiling Marshawn Lattimore. I had someone else that was like, I don't think it's fair that you're singling out Marshawn. And I responded to the profile comment. I was like, I am not profiling Marshawn Lattimore. I am reading his profile. Like, he is a guy that has been in multiple, like, they had 3 playoff games last year. He got into 2 fights. Yeah. Like, this is who he is. And sure enough, of the skirmishes that happened today, he's at the center of one of them. It was broken up fairly quickly. The one that got the most notes today was the one between Travion Henderson, the rookie running back for the Patriots, who picked up a blitzer. I have not read who the blitzer was, but it was a big pass pro collision. And Mike Vrabel gets in to get a break up the fight, and Vrabes comes out with a busted cheek. So that's a good time. But I think more substantially, the two things that kind of stand out to me in reading the reports today, Anthony, are we had some big questions going in, and I don't think either of them was answered in the positive for the Commanders. And those two questions were, how would they pass pro, and what's the receiver situation without Terry? And on the pass pro front, there's a lot of reporting about how Jaden was constantly under pressure. And now it's worth pointing out, Brandon Coleman not participating. So the offensive line was shuffled a little bit. And Laremy Tunsil apparently looked amazing. It's the other combination of four that you're concerned about. So at least the big new shiny trade item, that's going well. And there's no one I'd rather talk about that stuff than with Mitch. So we'll get into more detail of who was out there, who struggled, who actually did okay coming up at 5 o'clock. But like, that's concerning, because this is how they were going to be more sustainable. This improved offensive line play was how they were not going to have to rely on being historically great on fourth down and really, really good on third down. Statistics that tend to fluctuate year to year in major ways. And the Commanders were top of the league in both, or near the top of the league in both last year. So you have that front. And then you have the receivers who everyone's just kind of like, yeah, outside of without Terry, this doesn't work. And this is a known commodity. It's enhanced by the fact that Noah Brown was also out. But this receiver room just isn't built to not have Terry McLaurin in it. And that is definitely part of the calculation that Adam Peters is making right now, in terms of playing hardball in the negotiations, because there aren't any games yet. But I think it is a stark reminder that, like, we can say all we want, like, oh, the team's got all the negotiating power, and Terry, like, it is what it is. But like, if he decides for real not to play, or is not the Terry McLaurin that we've known him to be, this offense is really going to struggle to be the level it needs to be for them to get where they want to go. I'm not saying they'll be bad, because Jaden's too good for them to be bad, but they're not going to be good. And being average isn't good enough for what the personnel is for this team to get, you know, in Super Bowl contention, which is clearly their goal this year.
Yeah, I view the Commanders without a Terry McLaurin like that of the Packers. I think the Packers had a whole bunch of wide receiver twos, wide receiver threes, Jordan Love, you know, Matt LaFleur, they were able to, you know, scheme around the talent that they had. And Jordan also was able to elevate him as well, or put him in position to be successful. But again, when those games mattered, when the playoffs came around, you can't do much if you don't have a wide receiver one. You need a guy that you can lean on in these pivotal moments. So we definitely did see some reporting about the receivers today. Also on the other side, about Marshon Lattimore minus the fight. we did see him also get scored on by what's his name? Something Booty.
Yeah, Booty, whatever his name is. Sorry, apologies to him. I'm not trying to be flippant about his name. I don't remember how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
It's a guy I see every single year, and I'm like, oh, is his name really Booty? Because if it is, I don't want to say Booty and then it not be Booty, because that'd be silly. So I will look up the correct pronunciation. But you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, that was also, you know, something we wanted to, you know, monitor. Is Marshon the same guy that we traded for last year, where he wasn't giving up touchdowns, where he was, you know, top five in, you know, completion percentage against kind of thing. So, again, a lot of questions going into the training camp, and, you know, some of them in favor of, you know, the Commanders and some not. And that's one of the things that I'm definitely monitoring as camp goes. Can he get back to the guy we traded for?
It is Kayshon Booty, by the way, is Kayshon. The pronunciation. So Kayshon Booty. I want to circle back to the DBs, because that was another story of the day today for sure. We'll get to that next. But I want to go back to your Terry point. Sorry for the ping-ponging here. But it's not, to me, like just about the wide receiver one being a guy you can go to in clutch situations. Like, yes, playoffs last year, Terry was incredible, and having that guy that will rise to the moment, and Terry is that player, like that matters. But it's also what it does to everybody else, right? He dictates coverage. And so if all of a sudden you have your number one guy dictating coverage, what, and that's either you're their number one corner plus safety help or multiple safeties or just their number one corner, whatever it is, you're taking a either in quality or quantity high number of assets, high amount of assets to make sure that he doesn't kill you. That means there's less to cover everybody else. And now Debo's being covered by a second corner or a slot guy. Whoever the other, Noah Brown is not facing a number one corner, or Luke McCaffrey is not facing a number one corner. Jalen Lane is not facing a number one corner because that guy is not occupied with Terry. There's less help to go around safety wise. The way the linebackers play the underneath coverage that might be pulled a little bit towards Terry's side that opens up space elsewhere. Like it's not just a production thing with a true bona fide number one receiver. And that is something that is hard to calculate from a value standpoint, but you instantly notice it when it's gone. And that's the thing that I think I don't want to say like the analytics struggle with, because you can tell with stuff. For instance, this is a super simple statistic, but Jaden's QBR last year, I think, was 73 or 78 when Terry was on the field and 63 when he was off it. I think it was 78 and 63 were the two numbers. So a huge, huge difference in what Jaden Daniels was able to do when Terry's on the field, not just when he throws to him and not, when he's on or off the field. It's the same as like the Golden State Warriors. Yes, Steph Curry is awesome when he shoots, but look at how many layups he gets them because two guys dart with Curry, and then all of a sudden a guy is wide open somewhere else that because they slipped a, you know, an off-ball screen. Like, that's the kind of impact and pull and gravity a true number one receiver has, and Terry has it. And without him, like, yeah, Zach Ertz is still awesome, and he had another fantastic day. Like, Zach Ertz is a modern marvel at this point, the fact that he's still doing this at his age when everyone wrote him off 2 years ago. And he looked like he was done 2 years ago. He was on the practice squad for the Lions 2 years ago in the playoffs. Like, that's where his career was. But it's so much more than just what he does, and what he does is worth a whole lot. So this is the balance that Adam Peters is trying to go with, but he also knows that Terry hasn't really missed anything important yet. So why is he going to budge just for the sake of budging, even if, you know, but let's not assume that he doesn't understand the importance of 17. We get back. The Commander secondary has kind of been the rave of camp so far. So what do we make of the fact that they didn't have a great day against New England? We will discuss next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and YouTube as well. TuneIn Radio, you can check us out there too. Lots of places for you to watch, listen, and if you can't do so live, the podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up at 4:30, David Aldridge with a good column on the Terry McLaurin contract situation and why we are now getting to a point where something needs to happen. Hey, it'll happen eventually, you know, phase of the offseason is starting to fade away. And David has some compelling points. We will talk about that coming up at 4:30. We'll go into detail on what a contract could look like at 5:30 with Joel Corey. And Mitch Tischler joins us at 5 to break down everything that he saw in person with his own two eyeballs today at Commanders Patriots joint practice. What everyone seemed to see, though, and we have the numbers to back it up, Anthony, is a pretty efficient day in a lot of the teamwork for the Patriots quarterbacks. Josh Dobbs, the backup, Drake May, the starter. I think May went 10 of 12, and one of those two incompletions was a drop. Dobbs, 13 of 15 in two of their team periods. So a pretty efficient day against a Commander secondary that has looked like a bomb squad in Ashburn. And you try not to get like the PTSD, but like that gives me mega red flag PTSD to 2023, where it's like, oh man, the secondary is pretty good. Oh, they face Baltimore. They can't cover anything. Oh no. The difference was in 2023, like, this is actually bad. This is a bad difference. The difference in 2023 was the guy that was playing quarterback would go on to win MVP that year. I think Drake May is probably going to have a pretty good sophomore season. I do not think he is going to win the MVP. And I do think that the receivers that, you know, Zay Flowers, et cetera, that were in Baltimore, Odell was in Baltimore that year. And I think he had a couple catches. I think those guys are better than the Patriots receivers, respectfully to DeMario Douglas, who's a good player, Kayshon Boutte, who we just talked about, et cetera, et cetera. Mac Hollins had an unbelievable day, apparently, today. So the fact that we know the Commanders receivers are struggling without Terry, outside of some highlight plays from Debo, and then there's inconsistency everywhere else, and the Commanders secondary all of a sudden not looking so great when they have to face someone else, like, I don't, like, I'm asking this honestly. I'm not saying your concernometer should be on 11. How high is your concernometer about this, though?
I mean, a little concerning.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not going to try to be, you know. I think everyone knows, like, I'm Mr. Hey, just it's one day, and like, I'll make that argument in a second, but I can't pretend like I'm not a little bit concerned.
Yeah, especially because we heard, you know, Mikey was having a solid camp in the slot, him and Debo going at it, and then, you know, he gives up a slot fade, you know, TD to Mac Hollins. It's just like, oh, man. And last year, you know, he started out slow in the slot before eventually moving outside, so maybe it's him sort of kind of still getting his feet up under him, but at the same token, like, he's had a strong camp, so maybe it was one day. We probably won't see a lot of him on Friday, so I
Correct.
Guess we'll have to wait until, you know, the joint practice against the Ravens, and I think the Ravens receiving core is slightly better than that of the Patriots, so he'll have his work cut out there, and if he does bounce back and have a strong performance against him, all right, it might have been one day, but still, like, we're seeing a fresh team or a different team, and we want you to go out there and treat it like a game situation, and if you're going out there and, you know, getting bombed, that ain't good. That ain't good.
No. Here's all right, here's the let's not freak out argument.
Okay.
One, first and foremost, practice is not football. It like practices are not games. In other words, practice is a controlled situation where you would like to see your players succeed. But part of what you build when you build a football team is how can we avoid bad situations? When you're practicing them as a defense, oh, it's third and two, or it's whatever, like you're in the red zone, you're in the strike zone, whatever it is, a situation you don't want to be in. Well, one of the ways you can avoid doing that in a real game is you play better on first and second down when the ball's back in your own end, right? And for instance, today, I do think the Commanders, the reports were pretty good with their defensive line. All right, Patriots didn't run the ball great. By the way, offensively, the Commanders did run the ball very well today, especially like outside, you know, kind of attacking over the tackles. So Laremy Tunsil had one play, one of the other skirmishes when he like ran his dude into the sideline. So like, hey, that's nice. And if the Commanders do that and control the ball, then Mike Sanders still is not going to be in a ton of those situations. So in practice, it's like, you're in a bad situation. Reset the ball. You're in a bad situation again. Reset the ball. You're in a and so you're just continually on a death loop, depending on what drills your coaches choose to run on that particular day. So that would be thing one. Thing two, this is a defense that I think is made up of pretty smart players and pretty smart coaches. I think their game plans are going to be pretty good. They did not game plan for this. And so some of the stuff the Patriots were running, they might have easy answers to. They just weren't in today. Because they didn't game plan or they didn't tweak their coverages to their route combinations, whatever. And, you know, you kind of wind up doing that naturally when you face the same team every day. So in Ashburn, they kind of know, I recognize this route combination. It's being run this way. We've seen it three of the last 5 days. I'll make my adjustments. I'll be in the right place. Mm-hmm. If it's something new, like Logan talked about this on Take Command, he hated joint practices because he was a study guy and there was nothing to study. And so he might, you know, look really good against Ryan Kerrigan for 2 weeks and then go face some guy who's not nearly as good as Ryan Kerrigan, but he's never played him before. And he's like, I don't know how to, you know, where my hand placement needs to be against this guy. Oh, he's got kind of a weird chop move. What do I do with that? And so you never, and I guess the last point would be, it's one day. anybody can have a good or bad day, relatively speaking, in the NFL. And so I don't want to freak out over it. My concern meter is not like I'm hard limiting myself to like a 5.5 out of 10. But I also am going data point, back pocket. I want to see how it is if the offense starts to crank up a little bit. Do they start game planning some stuff, whatever, in practice? Do the Commanders' offense start taking a turn? And then obviously, like you said, in Baltimore, again, that's a great offense. So if you have a bad day, it might not mean that like it's the end of the world, but it is something that is relevant. Ultimately, we're not going to know until we get to the regular season. When they start game planning, when they've got, you know, a real understanding and tweaks to their basic coverages to say, we're going to account for these things and these people. And the situations aren't dictated by what the coaches decide the situations are. They're dictated by the game. But you'd rather still play better than not. And I think it's pretty clear based off the numbers that were reported and the observational accounts that were given that the Commanders did not play great defensively in the pass game today. So that's that. Did I do anything to ease your concerns?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. I did also see that Trey Amos had a couple of good reps against Stephon Diggs, so that's also encouraging.
I would say the other encouraging thing in general is I feel like the Commanders, the reports were the Commanders did pretty well in situational work. And that's where they want to thrive. In the 2 minute, they forced an interception. Bobby Wagner got a pick tip, and Mike Sanders still got a pick. I think that was actually red zone. But like the final period of the day for the Patriots, one offense. Okay, well, if you do that, doesn't really matter how you did in between the 20s. You get a pick in the red zone, no points given up, turnover. Let's go offense. Get back out there. On third down stuff, on other situational work that they did, I think that the Commanders performed better than they did in kind of the general teamwork. And that those are areas where we know the Commanders put a heavy emphasis. And it's also on those margins that football games are won and lost in this league. So that is encouraging and a positive data point for Washington as well. We'll see, obviously, how they perform on Friday. Different groups, basically. It'll be a lot of backups. There's basically no starters that are going to play. We can dive into that a little bit as we go, as well as, obviously, we'll see what they do against the Ravens in the joint practice coming up in the next couple of weeks. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, though, Terry McLaurin, are we running out of time to say, like, oh, it's okay that this hold in is happening? Like, what's the hard out? David Aldridge asked that question in a column for The Athletic, and I thought his answers were pretty good. We'll discuss David's column next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn as well. We've continued to monitor, of course, the Terry McLaurin situation. Terry wants a new contract. I saw earlier today on Russell's show, one of the hosts from SiriusXM, Jim Miller, apparently said the Commanders and Terry are $6 million apart. Chris took that to mean annually, not total, which would make a lot more sense. I guess if it's a three-year extension, $2 million a year apart, now we're talking. $6 million, like that's the difference between 33 and 27. So that's a pretty significant gap that they would have to cover. But at the end of the day, I think it's important to note that deadlines tend to spur action. And while we have blown through what could be perceived as a couple of deadlines, the opening of training camp, obviously, Terry deciding he's no longer going to hold out is kind of another line of demarcation. I wouldn't necessarily say a deadline. Mandatory minicamp was another deadline back in June. We haven't necessarily gotten to the point where it's like, man, he's behind. Obviously, he's a little bit behind, but how far behind is he really for a guy that is as smart as he is right into the offense? You know he's going to study. You know he's going to be in shape. And he's got a built-in chemistry with Jaden Daniels. In some ways, you can make an argument that there is some helpfulness to him being out because it involves some problem-solving for the offense without him. Other guys get extra reps. Terry doesn't necessarily need these reps. Like, he's at 100. There is no such thing as extra credit. 101, 102. No, he just would stay at 100. At what point, though, are you behind? Do you need to understand, okay, I have my relationships and chemistry with Jaden, but I don't know how to run these routes that are in, you know, exquisite combination with Deebo Samuel or Jalen Lane? Or I need to learn this new thing we're doing because we put in this new play that Deebo needs. Or I got to learn the timing of how Laremy Tunsil blocks on this tunnel screen because we know that the screen plays can be really helpful for the Commanders. See Terry in the playoffs last year, although that one was a wide receiver screen with one dude in front and he broke one tackle and goodbye. So I do think that we are getting closer to that. And that was the questions, those ones that I just asked, were posited by David Aldridge in a column he wrote for The Athletic. And I think David's, like, the premise is basically, like, it's time to get this done. We are now in the first preseason game. We have two more to go. We have no starters playing this week. So, this joint practice is something that would have been nice for Terry. But we're running out of room for him to get any real reps against an opponent. And frankly, even reps against his own teammates as we work closer and closer to the season. I will say this. It's August 6th. August 6th. A month from now, we will still have played zero NFL regular season football games. So it's not like the season is next week. We have a couple more weeks of camp, one more week of like true training camp. Then when you get back off of your final preseason game, I'm trying to remember if they do this after the second game or are they doing this after the final preseason game. I'm trying to remember from last year, and to be honest, I don't. But they used to, after the third preseason game, switch to a regular season schedule. But now with, you know, just three preseason games, some teams do it differently. But you still have true training camp for another couple of weeks, and then you have the off week between roster cutdowns and week one. Then you have week one with, you know, week zero up into week one. So that regular first game week of practice. And Terry could ramp up there. But as David Aldridge astutely points out in his column, Dan Quinn has talked about, we will not skip steps for anyone coming off of injury or of missed time. And so whether this injury is legit that Terry has that has him on PUP with the ankle or not, there's going to be a ramp-up period where they make sure he's in shape to play in the Commanders' up-tempo offense. Because the last thing you want is that he comes back and then he pulls a hamstring or re-injures the ankle because it's not quite right and it's more susceptible to re-rolling and he turns his ankle on a cut. Whatever it is, they are not going to risk, and especially if they sign him to a new deal, and if he's not signed to a new deal and he just agrees to play out his contract, he's not going to want to skip any steps because he needs to have the best season possible so that he can try to have an even better contract negotiation next offseason when he's a true free agent, but he's already 30 entering his age 31 season. So he can't have any drop off this year. So it's a pressure season for him, which is part of the reason why I think he's probably going to sign a contract before he suits up to play a game. And that'll happen before the Commanders suit up to play a game. The point is that we're running out of time, that we are now entering the phase where we have been running in slow motion at a ramp. And the ramp is what allows us to get safely from regular or from off season training camp And really, it's only a little bit steeper in training camp, but then it's like, up we go into the regular season. And we are running towards that ramp, and it is getting closer day after day after day, and we're running out of what is a very slow incline, very short incline of training camp, and we're about to trip over that ramp and faceplant into it, or we're just going to stop running on this. And that, Anthony Haney, I would say is less than ideal.
Very less than ideal. But what would you say is a, you know, reasonable time frame for like the deal? Like, in your mind, what would be an ideal day now? I like, mean, obviously, we would have all preferred it to be done before training camp. But like where we are right now, like, I don't know. I don't think, you know, tomorrow is probably going to get done. But if it does, or if it doesn't.
When's the Ravens joint practice?
The 21st, August 21st. So I that would be my ideal timeline or time frame. Somewhere around there.
I think it needs to be done with a week or so of ramp time into that. I want Terry McLaurin to be a full go against the Ravens, because I think if you can do that, that is a really good way to get yourself sharp for the regular season. So that's what I would say is if August 21st is the Ravens joint practice, by August 14th, I want Terry McLaurin in training camp off of PUP practicing. And he doesn't need to do a full practice against the Ravens, but give me a week and I'm good with that. And again, one of the things I think is so frustrating about this is like everyone knows where this is going to land. And these two sides refuse to get any closer. Like that's the thing that I just don't understand is like, how are these talks so unproductive? I just want to like, I want to put the two sides in a get along shirt with a contract. Somehow the get-along shirt, or maybe Adam Peters is left-handed, or Buddy Terry's agent is left-handed, and that way it can work in a get-along shirt. One of them can sign with their right hand. One of them can sign with their left. Here's the contract. Who says no? You both say no? Okay, well, you're in a get-along shirt. Try to run away from each other. See how it goes. Like, I just... This one flabbergasted me, man, because... I have budged within a very small range of what I think is going to happen here, but the entire football world is in a very small range. Everyone seems to agree, but the two sides actually negotiating, and what the two sides actually negotiating want, the football world consensus is dead in the middle of them, which just seems like the obvious outcome. Maybe we're missing something. Maybe there is something that Terry's side or the team's side has that is a piece of data that we are all missing. I do not rule that out. They do this for a living. But it feels currently very silly.
Yeah, two things. So the game is actually August 21st. The joint practices are August 15th and 16th.
Okay, so like Terry should sign this weekend.
Yeah.
Sign like Friday. Well, Friday's game day. Let's get it done on... Like, team's going to fly back after the game. Let's... Terry, meet me at the office on Saturday. Yeah. Bring buddy. Let's get this done. On paper, Jerry Jones, not a handshake deal. Did you see his quote today, by the way?
He's ridiculous.
I bought the Cowboys on a handshake deal. No, you didn't, you doofus. You did not buy the Cowboys. When you did a hundreds of millions of dollars transaction with, by the way, mostly borrowed money, I guarantee you the banks involved... Where maybe you agreed to a price, but I guarantee it wasn't to the paperwork. You can't file a handshake with the NFL and say, hey, here's the cap breakdown. Moron. I don't use that word lightly, but God, he is either the world's biggest attention whore and knows what he's doing, an absolute moron, or perhaps Anthony, both. When we get back, your calls on the Terry situation. I saw a couple of phone calls coming in, 301-230-0980, but first a look at what's trending.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
301-230-0980 is our phone number here on The Hoffman Show on the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio as well. Taking your calls as Terry McLaurin misses practice today up in New England. He, one of seven players who did not travel. Of course, he's on PUP technically, as well as, you know, we know he's holding in. Sam Cosmi on PUP as well. He did not travel. Five others, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Jordan McGee, Noah Brown, Brandon Coleman. Oh, I'm almost five for five, Anthony. Who's the other one? Son of a biscuit. Marcus Mariota. Bam! Did it off the top of my head. Those seven did not travel. Obviously, none of them will play in the game on Friday. Also worth noting, we'll talk about this a little bit more with Mitch Tischler coming up in 9 minutes for Not My Beat. But if there was a guy who got a lot of reps today in the joint practice, he's not getting a lot of reps in the game on Friday. So a guy like Jacory Kroski-Merritt, didn't see a lot about him today. I think that's because we're going to see him quite a bit in the game on Friday. Let's take your calls, though, about Terry. We were just talking about him and off the back of David Aldridge's article in The Athletic this morning. Let's go to Terrell in Baltimore. Terrell, thanks for calling. You're on The Hoffman Show.
Yeah, Craig, man, this is like a futures conversation, right? Because we know the front office has got to think about the 53. So, like, with decisions like having to extend – like Aluvu, Lattimore, and Tunsil next year. Maybe their analytics says don't overinvest in a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver beyond this year since he's under contract, he's going to play. At best, maybe franchise tag him for one more year for that year 31 to go to 32 years old. But perhaps that similarly drafted wide receiver in Lane, similarly comp to Terry, their answer – and hopefully that they're hoping after he's under Terry this year, if we have to move away from Terry, you know, because we just cannot come together with a contract this year, that might be where the front office is coming from. What do you think about that?
I think that's – I don't think that's correct. I think it's like a coherent point. I'm not saying it's like, how could you possibly think that? I just don't happen to think it's correct. Let me give you two reasons why. One – this front office has engaged in good faith negotiations with Terry. Like, I don't think they're negotiating in bad faith. I think they have a fundamental disagreement about the value of the player because they are very analytics driven, and all the analytics will tell you that 30-plus-year-old receivers are not worth paying what Terry's asking for or what Terry is worth based off of the current market if you look at his comps. So that would be thing one. Thing two is you don't make the Debo trade and the Tunsil trade and sign Von Miller if you're not trying to win this year. And so thinking about the future is something you're always doing if you're doing an extension and a long-term contract, but they are definitely trying to win this year. And the way that they're acting now if they're being ridiculous hard asses about this, they are not acting in a way that is optimizing this year, and that's a bad job by them. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think that there's a big enough gap here that both sides are at fault, and it's not like one side is being stubborn. I think both sides are being equally stubborn in their corners. They're not even coming into the center of the ring to fight. But I think because they definitely want to try to win this year, and because they are engaged in good faith negotiations, some grandmaster 3D chess plan to replace Terry long-term with Jalen Lane is, I think, I don't want to say giving them more credit than they deserve. It's just, I don't think that's what they're doing.
But I mean, they have him under contract this year. So is that much of a concern as opposed to thinking about the futures? That's why I wanted to bring that up. Like,
yeah, I mean,
this year.
Yeah, I think that, like, you're always trying to plan ahead. You're always, I mean, they drafted Johnny Newton last year because they knew that John Allen was entering what is essentially the final year of his deal. They know that Terry's entering the final year of his deal, but they also understand the business. And I think that sometimes we don't, like, the he's under contract thing is a little bit silly because we all, like, everyone in the business understands how the business works, which is why typically it's a bunch of people in the business or formerly in the business telling people on the outside to relax. It, you know, if you talk to players about this stuff, like if we're talking about it on Take Command and Logan talks about it, or if the beat folks ask players about it, when I used to be on the beat, when I asked players about other players' contracts, they all understand the score. Like, they look at Terry's contract. They know he's got, doesn't have guaranteed money. They also know he's underpaid based off the market. The wide receiver market's exploded. He's due for an extension, which is what happens in the final year of a deal. You don't typically have players of that caliber playing on lame duck contracts with no future guaranteed money in it. And that's how business is done in this league. And so I think that to think that the front office would somehow be like, if they had told Terry in March or February or January, hey man, we're just not in a position right now to extend you. I know that's probably not what you want to hear. We might be able to throw you a couple extra million bucks for this year in August, but we need to see how the cap stuff plays out this offseason. But we're not going to talk to you about an extension. Then we're having a very different conversation. But that's not what happened. Adam Peters made it clear from his exit press conference, they want to sign Terry up to be here for a long time. So unless that's a total lie, which I don't think it is, I just don't think that it's like, oh, we just want to let him play out this year. I think they want to get an extension done. I just think that they fundamentally disagree on the numbers, and sometimes that happens in negotiations.
Yeah, I get you. It makes me think like, hey, if the number isn't what we can do, considering the future stuff, then maybe.
Yeah, you always have to have contingency plans. And, you know, I don't, but I will say this, and Terrell, we got to let you run because we're about to go, and Mitch Tischler, but thanks for the call as always. Always a great call when Terrell chimes in. I don't think they have a great contingency plan. I think you look at their offseason. Yes, of course, the Debo move is a big move, but Debo was brought in to pair with Terry. He wasn't brought in to replace Terry. They're two very different players. They don't have someone who can do what Terry does because there aren't a lot of people on the planet that can. Wide receiver ones, bona fide, good ones, aren't walking around available. And it's fair, I think, in this offseason that was designed around making life easier for Jaden Daniels, if they can't get this done, to reevaluate that offseason and say, like, well, what did you really do for Jaden Daniels? Yeah, you did some good things, but you took away the best thing he had, which is why ultimately I find, you know, I feel like sometimes that's where the conversation ends, and then it's very hot takey in that way. But I will add this one thing on top of that to give management credit here, which is probably why that's not going to happen. It's why a deal is going to get done, or I'd be absolutely stunned. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Save it if you wanted to call in but didn't get a chance to. We are going to the guest line next, but always open to taking your calls when we have the time there. Mitch Tischler is in New England, the co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast and one of our regulars during the regular season, joins us next here on the Team 980.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.